To continue with the life of Jesus Christ as we follow his footsteps to the cross of Calvary and praise God for the footsteps that led out of the borrowed tomb to prove that he is Lord God, Creator and Savior. If you would, turn with me to the book of John, Big John, the fourth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and turn with me to the second chapter. Call this series, for lack of a better term, the Lamb of God. Let the miracles continue. We'll be continuing this study in Christ until and after resurrection morning here at Vanderhoof, and I hope you can join us, every one of you. We've looked at Christ coming into the world as a child, as a baby, as a child. We've seen him at 12 years old. We are absolutely confident that he was studying the rest of the time up until age 30. We are confident that even at age 30, when he started his ministry and was baptized to show us the way and to fulfill the law of God, we're positive that he continued to study and pray because he went into the wilderness and he was tempted and he used God's word to turn the devil away. He submitted himself to God. He resisted the devil and then he watched them flee. I love that scripture. I just love that scripture. We saw that. We saw him calling his disciples, the first bunch of them, five of them. We saw that he was calling them as average, everyday people, not kings and queens. Of course, they're welcome to come. But we saw Christ come to the person who was doing their everyday job, just living and breathing, working for a living, making a salary. He went to fishermen. He said, hey, come and follow me. And we saw in two instances that they just dropped everything that they were doing and followed him. They didn't even see a miracle. They just dropped what they were doing and followed Christ. To me, that's a miracle. And to me, it's a miracle that we are gathered here this morning, because after 2,000 years of people trying to destroy the Word of God, they haven't been successful yet. Remember what we were talking about in communion this morning? He was beaten, but he was never broken. And you can beat up on God's word all you want to, but you will never, ever get ahead of God. Never, ever, ever. You might think you are, the world might think it has, but God will not be outdone. In some sweet day, he will come and get his church, and I pray that you are part of that great meeting. Here we see what some call the first miracle, and I don't dispute the fact that this was a miracle of the visible kind that you could take to the bank and say he did this, but I submit that after all these years of study, I believe the miracle that first happened is that Christ came back to earth to rescue us to begin with. To me, that's the first miracle, that he cared enough about us and me and you to come back and rescue us out of the squalor and the life that we're living. To me, that is a miracle, and that's God's grace and mercy. Then I believe it was a miracle when he called those first disciples, and they just listened to him, and they went with him. And so we find Christ now. Now, I've got just a few points I want to make this morning. I'll go over them and see if we can get these done this morning. Here are the points that I'd like you to join with me in thinking about. Just jotted these down because all I'm going to do is read and comment from the scripture this morning. That's where I feel most comfortable. But the points are these. Some followed Christ without seeing a miracle. Those would be the disciples that appeared with him at this setting that we're going to talk about. He came and he did this miracle in the midst, again, of average people. It's a great thing to think about. And yes, he blessed marriages by being at this marriage in Cana of Galilee. That's what we're going to look at this morning, this miracle that occurred in Cana of Galilee. And you know it, you all have heard it, even those of you in the back who refuse to sit in the front. You back row Baptist, you. Even you have heard of this miracle of turning water into wine, haven't you? Those in the back, would you raise your hands? Have you heard of it? Good, I just want to make sure you're awake back there. Good. You've heard of that. And he came and he blessed this marriage. Yes, he did, but it's not totally in the way you might think. I use this in every wedding that I perform, this miracle, because he does come to bless marriages. But there's another reason that he is there at this marriage, and we'll get to that in a few moments. And then finally, the last point and the most important point to me is that if you invite Christ, are you with me? Especially you back row Baptists. If you will invite Christ to be a part of your life, he will come. He will be there. He will show up. If you invite him, he will come. Have you invited? This is the invitation before the invitation. This is the kind of service that you get anxious about before I even get to the topics that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to make you anxious about not coming and giving your life to Christ before we ever get to the invitation. So this is the invitation for the invitation. Have you invited Christ into your life recently? See, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how long that is. I have to look myself in the mirror too. I have to invite him every day to come with me wherever I go. He could get left out very easily. 85 miles an hour last night between Fairmont and Morgantown. I did not want to be driving that fast. But if you weren't, you were going to get run over. So there I was, heading to Morgantown, going to a hospital, thinking, I may really need that hospital. And I thought, I sure better invite him to be here with me because I need his hedge of protection around me. If you invite him into your life, he will come and he will bless you abundantly. Abundantly. So let's talk about this morning. Here we are at the marriage ceremony, the wedding gathering in Cana of Galilee. It says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, well, this is significant. We know a lot from just reading one little scripture there. Are you with me? Or do we just need to take a break? You want to take a water break or something? Stay with me. Just reading one little scripture, it's significant. On the third day, there was a wedding. It's in Cana of Galilee. That's really significant. And the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus, according to scripture, was to start his ministry in Galilee, by the way. We went over that last week. You can find that in the Bible, that this is exactly where he was supposed to start. He wasn't in Jerusalem, and he wasn't at a wedding that the rabbis had anything to do with. He wasn't at the scribes or the Pharisees or the high court of the church. He's at a wedding at a family gathering in Galilee, and his mother was already there, which means that these were probably kinfolk of Jesus. At least really good friends, because we know his mother is already there. Have you ever been not invited to a family or friend's wedding? Have you ever heard that they got married and they had the ceremony and you found out about it weeks or months later? And when you see them, they say, you didn't get the invitation? Well, we sent it. You mean you didn't get it? It must have gotten lost in the mail. I just want you to think about that for a minute. Don't raise your hands. So now both Jesus and his disciples were what? They were invited. They received an invitation. And his disciples were with him, just a few, five actually were with him at this point. It was only five. And they were with him and they went with him, and they were with him, part of my point, number one, they were with him even though they'd never seen him perform a miracle yet. Is your faith okay enough that if you don't see a miracle today, you'll still believe in Jesus Christ? I told you last week, I finally found out that the miracle of Christ is in me. I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on Christ. I finally figured out that he loved me enough to forgive me, and now I need to start accepting the fact that I can be forgiven. Does anybody here today have anything in their life that you'd like to be forgiven about? Just between you and God? Is there anything hanging on in your life? Is there anything hanging on in your life that you would say to Christ, Lord, I need you to forgive me for this? Well, there's one standing here in front of you that can say there is. And it took a long time for me to start to be able to let some things go that I felt so guilty about. And I don't mean not remember them. Because humans are not good at forgetting, but we should start getting good at forgiving. We're called to forgive others, we should forgive ourselves as well, right? So that we can have some peace in our life. And here are people, five people at least, following Christ, and he's not done a single miracle. They're just there with him because they believe that he is special. This scripture is so full of life and beauty that it astounds me. Every time I open this Bible, it gets better and better and better, and I get more excited about the forgiveness and the love that is almost on every page. Here this Christ is. He's invited, and he shows up. And I promised you, my fourth point, if you invite him, he'll come. And if you invite him, he'll come, and he will bring others with him who believe if they will follow him. Some of you invited people here this morning, and they came. Thank you for coming. And I hope you're blessed by being here this morning. Some came even though they weren't invited. They just came. Now the invitation's there, and I beg you to come back and fellowship and worship with us and give Christ a chance. Not Craig Holler. I'm just the messenger. Give us a chance to love you and fellowship with you and invite you into the family. You see, that's what's happening here. That's why I said this must be a family gathering. Jesus' mother is there. It's a family thing. It's an ordeal. That's what's so important about this scripture. Jesus is there with family and friends. Wouldn't you expect him to be? Wouldn't you? And don't you think at this gathering, and how many weddings have I done? I lost count at 100. I don't know how many I've done. I've done more funerals than weddings. And I'm not even going to go there. The people's funerals that we have, that have known Jesus, that had invited him into their life, the funerals were actually things of beauty. Even though there was tears, even though there was loss, it was still moments of beauty because they knew where their loved one was going. That they had been invited and accepted the invitation from Christ Jesus to become part of the family. This is a family gathering. And don't you know, at all family gatherings, I probably used to be the one, there were certain people there that would come to these functions that the rest of the people didn't want to be there. Have you ever been to those gatherings? I'm seeing a bunch of grins on faces out there. There's always somebody that's come. Sometimes people show up even though they're not invited. How did you get here?
Well, I just heard about it, thought I'd come.
We tried not to let them know, but they're here anyway. We can't do that with God's Word. We've got to make sure that everyone gets an invitation. We can't hide God's blessings any way, shape, or form. We can't say to those doors back there, don't let so-and-so in. Now, there are certain people, I guarantee you, that have such a bad witness in this community that it would be very, very, very hard to accept them into that door because they've caused so much chaos everywhere they've gone. But you know what? You'd have to give them at least a try before you threw them out. Right? Or not? Right, Joe? I know that's what Joe believes. Here is Christ, and he's there with not only just family members, but he's there with all kinds of people. And this is an unbelievable moment for Jesus Christ to perform this miracle because of the diversity of the gathering place. We need to celebrate being diverse in this world. We need to celebrate the differences in all of us. That's what makes the world beautiful, isn't it? If every flower was just one color, it would be boring, at least, right? It would be monochrome. The entire world would just be one color. I was watching a special on Antarctica, and at a certain time during the year, it's unbelievable how the first explorers made it to the pole. They had to cross a 700-mile, the last leg of their journey, that they went over mountains and crevices and everything else, and then their last leg of their journey was like 700 miles over a vast field of just white. Just white. If it hadn't have been for dark glasses and goggles, they would have gone snowblind and lost their way. But there was color in their world. And anytime you have a gathering just like this one, there's diversity here, and there's beauty, and there's different gifts, and there's different ways that people will express what happened to them here this day of worship. Do you understand that when people leave this place of worship, that they will have something to say about it? What did they experience? What did they not experience? Were they welcome? Were they not welcome? Were they comfortable? Were they not comfortable? Were they recognized? Did anybody take the time to say hello? Welcome to our place of worship. Did anyone reach out to anybody? That's the message here. Christ is about to reach all of them in a very special way. Let's get further into it before I lose you. It says in verse 3, they ran out of wine, and the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Why was wine important? There's a whole variety of reasons why wine was important at this ceremony. Anybody care to tell me the reason it's important? God bless you. Well, if you drink the water, you get Montezuma's revenge. Anybody know what that is? Anybody here speak English? Speaking English? See? Okay. Let's just read some more. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Excuse me. And his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were, Now there were set there six water pots of stone, and according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. I don't even know if you want me to go there or not, but I'm going to anyway. If you missed what I just read, that last scripture, you've missed something huge. Let's read it again. I'll give you a chance to engage with me in this miracle that's about to happen. Now there were set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. What are these things? Pardon me? They're much more than that. They can be much more than that. Jews had to use water that was blessed and purified to do certain ritualistic things. One of them was Old Testament baptism. These are big pots. You can put a man or a woman in these. These are 20 to 30 gallons. Were they full? Are you reading the scripture with me? Jesus said, what did he say? He said, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. They were not full. They held 20 or 30 gallons apiece when full, but they were not full. Who is there to oversee the filling of the pots? Come with me. I don't think you speak English. I may be speaking Russian. I don't know. Have you ever thought about that? It's part of my philosophy class from college, right? Are we really here? Do we really exist? Have you ever thought about that? Is it really Sunday? Do I really speak the English? These are pots that are used for purification, for doing ritualistic work of the Jewish tradition. When filled with water, priests would come and they would bless them. It's like getting kosher salt, or kosher, not kosher pork, almost said pork. There is no such thing as kosher pork. Jesus is the chief priest, is he not? Has he not come to be the priest and to become the priest of all priests, and that we never need another priest in our life? Isn't this the one? Isn't this the one that's come to save us and to make peace with all mankind who will believe? Here is the chief priest of all priests. And he says, "Fill the water pots." But before that, his mom says, "You need to give them wine." And Jesus says, "It's not my time yet. I'm not ready. It's not." And you know what? One of the most significant points here is one of the commandments that's on that board out there. Don't get me started on commandments. I'm going to preach on that in a few weeks. But there's one commandment out there that says, honor what? You do know that. I was speaking English. English? I can't even say English. Honor thy father and mother. You know what? His mom said, "Son, we need more wine." And he said, "Mom, not yet." And she goes, You ever do that as a mom? Moms do it better than dads. Moms go, They don't have to say the words. They just have to, says, And then Dad looks over at the kid and says, Like, you better listen to Mom. So then Jesus says, and I'm paraphrasing, I understand. This is where I'm supposed to start my ministry. This is what's going to happen. Fill the water pots. Do the water pots get a blessing? Was he an invited guest? Did he obey his mother? Did he bless the water? Was it a miracle? If you invite him, he will come and he will bless you abundantly. The rest of the story is pretty simple. I know it by heart, do you? The servants also took some instructions, didn't they? This mom is a pretty strong mom, would you not say? What did she say to the servants? Come on now. Whatever he asks you to do, do it. Shouldn't that be our instruction to every child? Shouldn't that be our instruction to every family member? That whatever Jesus says to do, do it. Follow me. You see, the disciples were with him. We can commingle these points all you want to. The disciples are still with him. He still hasn't done the miracle at this point. He is just doing what he has been bid to do, and they are still with him, and they are still following him. The water has not yet become wine, but they're witnessing what Christ is doing. They're witnessing the chief priest become the Savior of the world. They get first glance. And these people at the wedding, it's amazing what happens here. You know the story, but let's read it. We'll just take a few more minutes. Jesus said to them, verse 7, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now. Who knew what had happened? It says right there. There you go. I want that to sink in for just a moment. Would you please just allow that to sink in? Who will know what Jesus does in your life? Who will recognize a miracle? Who will know? You said it. Say it again. His Do you want to see a miracle in your life? Do you want to participate in a miracle in your life? Invite Jesus and do what he says and become a servant and follow him, and then you will know when miracles happen. You will see them. I see them all the time. The only time I don't see them is when I'm not serving him. Those days and those moments when I'm not serving him at his feet, doing his bidding, doing what he tells me to do, I do not see miracles. I see monochrome. The times when I am serving him and following him and listening to him, What did his mother say? Do whatever he says. In order to do what he says, they had to do what? Listen. This is much more than just turning water into wine. This is a miracle of hearing, of doing, of following, of serving, and of seeing. In such a short little, I don't even know how many words are in these 8-9 verses that we just read. There's so few, but you see all these things because you're here today, you're here today, and you're listening. You're participating in this miracle that he did in a different way, hopefully, than you've ever seen this scripture before. Because it's a miracle of servanthood. And it starts with those five guys following Jesus into this wedding ceremony because they had not even seen a miracle yet. You know what? They accepted his invitation. I told you last Sunday, that's the miracle. They just laid down everything that they were doing and followed Jesus. And it said, when we read it, it said they did it immediately. They didn't say, hang on a minute. There's a story about that in the Bible too. The rich young ruler. I'm sure we'll get to that. But they didn't make excuses. They didn't say, I've got to help my dad wind up these nets before I can go with you. They didn't say any of that. They just said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And then, because they accepted the invitation, they were witnesses as servants to the miracle. The miracle's in you. The miracle's in each and every one of you who decides to follow Jesus. If you want to see these miracles happen, then you have got to become a servant of Christ. And Christ says, I don't even call you my servants anymore. I call you my friends. See, once you decide to follow him, then you become the friend of Christ. You become part of the family of Christ, part of the family of God. You're then the invited guest. And you're the one that's going to enjoy the miracle, Penny. Amen? When you're looking for him and seeking him, you will find him, won't you? And will he show you a miracle, Penny? Will he heal a son with childhood diabetes forever and ever and ever and ever? Will he heal him? Ma'am? This is the time to rejoice. And this wedding, yes, he came and he blessed this marriage. Thank God he did. It's God saying marriage is important. It's valuable. It's invaluable. But you see, it's more than just these two people. It's the wedding ceremony of the Lamb of God that he's celebrating. It's this special relationship that Christ has with his church. That's the marriage. That's the one that matters. Have you been invited to the marriage ceremony of the Lamb? Will you be there at the celebration? Will you be there to eat the Lord's Supper with him again when his work on earth is done? Will you be at the great gathering in that place we call heaven? You're invited. You're a special guest. If you follow him, become his servant, you become his friend, and then he will bless you abundantly, exceedingly and abundantly above anything you can ever imagine. Because my Bible says this, eye has not seen, the mind has not imagined, and the earth has not come up with anything that can describe the riches that God has for you. Turning water into wine, that's just a little miracle. The miracle is in you. Are you willing to see the miracle? it's time to go home. We've had a long day already because we had communion. Thank God we did. And we had children here. Thank God. And I've seen hundreds and thousands of miracles because it's been thousands and thousands of times that people have walked through this door and other places that we've gathered to worship. And I believe that you are a miracle. I believe it with all that's in my body. I believe that you are a miracle from God, sent to become a servant and a friend and to be able to see the miracles that it can work in your life. I don't care if you have a moment of unbelief. Everybody has that. Don't tell me you never have, because I will not believe you. Everyone has had a moment of doubt, even if it's just fleeting, even if it's 1/1,000,000th of 1 second. If you've had any doubt whatsoever, any time, then you have had a doubt. And God says, that's okay, as long as you accept me today. As long as you're looking for the miracle today. As long as you are trying to become a servant today. My Bible says that His miracles and mercies are new every morning. And if you're struggling with something, if it's one day at a time, accept the next day. Right, Kim? Accept the beauty of the day. Accept the moment that you have. Accept the 5 minutes, the 5 seconds. Whatever it is, accept the blessing wherever you can find it and see the miracle in you. Are you having a tough time in life today? Many of us do. The Bible says we're not alone. We all go through hard times. But the joy of it is that on the other side of the hard time, if you will stay believing in Jesus Christ, you'll come out saying, you know what? I got through that with Christ's help, and I'm stronger today than I was the day before. Because I saw the miracle. And the miracle's in you. Thank you, Lord.